Your Honor, our system was working just fine until the power grid was turned off by Wally Wick here.
They caused an explosion. Is this true?
It's true, Your Honor. The man is some kind of rodent. I don't know which.
This is the Sarcastic Voyage Podcast. Episode 71 featuring... What? Alan Madigan? Why? This doesn't make any sense. Sorry, there's no known way of saying the English sentence in which I introduce these two by themselves again and make it interesting. Get me a jury and show me how to make this appealing and I'll go down on you. It's just idiotic if you'll forgive me for saying so. Impossible. Meaningless.
Well, I was trying hard to cone and then I realized we had some urgent mail waiting for us.
Ooh.
Typically we will do our thing for a bit and then... leap into the mail, but we had a couple of pieces of mail that I thought needed to be addressed immediately.
Not just mail, important mail.
Urgent mail.
Said so, right? In fact, it was mailed to us.
Yes.
None of this email crap. This arrived in a mailbox.
Via the post.
Yes.
The
postman rang twice and everything.
Yes. The first one came from Beav, and it's urgent because it's about last week's show.
Now that is urgent.
It didn't even occur to me that anyone would write to us about last week's show because we were sort of in our little weird. I don't even know how to explain it. We two guys trying to talk to each other about porn without it getting too oogie. We kind of put these bubbles around ourselves. We weren't really.
We were trying exceptionally hard not to cone.
Right. And I think we succeeded.
Mm-hmm.
I think good for us. Yay. One point for us.
Here there be no cones. Right. That's what our last episode said.
But now we trying hard.
Mm-hmm.
Because typically we trying hard to cone.
We trying harder than usual.
Yes. You know, I'm not even a fan of the Bohemian Rhapsody, but I can't stop thinking about doing a version for our show that would go, we trying hard to cone, so hard to cone, we trying hard to cone. Yeah.
Mama just tried to cone.
So the question, which pertains to last week's show, says, Dear Alan Matt, have you met these? Hee hee, ha ha ha, ha ha ha. I have no idea what he's talking about.
That is terrifying.
Was that a piece of dialogue that I missed? Or?
Not that I can remember.
Very well. I mean, there's certain bits of that movie that I'm trying not to remember.
Oh, yeah.
But on the other hand, I tried to watch, you know, the dialogue bits because that was the... Mostly the safe parts, but I...
Yeah.
I don't remember anything.
We're a lot
about
less
Beav.
Likely to see, you know, the Riddler's dick.
Really hoping we could go an entire show without saying the Riddler's dick.
I'm surprised they didn't make a single diddler joke. Now that I think about it.
Yeah, so moving on. The other sort of urgent email came from Ted Bigsby.
All right.
He sent me this elaborate transcript of our show.
We've
been sort of joking about on Twitter that someone should transcribe the show because I never remember what we're talking about. But,
right.
As he proves here, there's about 2 minutes of transcription that takes like two pages. There's a lot of, I mean, we babble a lot and we don't say very much. So you really don't have to do that.
Yeah, it's what we're best at.
Yeah. Although he does cite specific time and like the timestamp 52:16 of episode 68. So he actually cites chapter and verse there. And he's pointing out the fact that we have not done the battleship show that we promised.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because I guess we're not allowed to do throwaway jokes. Everything we say has to be, like, canon fact.
Well, I mean, if there's one thing about this show that's true, it's that we have never lied to you about anything.
No, and certainly ever. We would not bend the truth or exaggerate for the sake of a laugh. Because
no, of course not.
Think back to the last 71 episodes. Have you ever laughed once? Probably.
Be honest.
Yeah. Probably not. So it's okay. But he does point out specifically where we said that we would do this. He says, now you might just weasel out and say, oh, we couldn't manage to make this happen. However, I think you just forgot. Battleship is not only a great game, but to hear you two trade cunning and witty verbal blows is why I would pay full admission to said podcast. Please reconsider. Do you want to address this whole paid admission thing or shall I?
Yeah. Who exactly did you pay admission to?
Yeah, was it a guy in a trench coat and like a hat trying to sell you an O? Cuz that guy's a jerk.
And we're so sick of that guy.
And he's often taking money from people on our behalf, and he has no right to whatsoever. We have no connection with this O salesman. So
he used to be on the show, but we fired him. He's a disgruntled employee.
We used to be called the Sarcastic Voyage Podcast, but he took our O. So
he's been trying to sell it ever since.
Yeah. Oh, and he mentions, P.S. I don't set my flag in Camp Flonk, but on this issue, we're on the same side. Because Flonk was also pointing it out. And in that manner, Flonk has, he wouldn't let it go. He had it in his teeth, and he just wouldn't let it go.
Oh, well, if there's one thing that'll get us to do something, it's Flonk telling us to do it.
Well, he's still doing the butt status.
Oh, good.
So there's that. But no, actually, we thought about doing the battleship thing again. I thought about, upon receiving this email in our sort of pre-show, we were talking about doing it. I looked around for some software that we could do it with, no go. We don't both own battleship games. Matt, you may or may not. I don't know. But
I used to have a copy of Electronic Talking Battleship.
I do not own one, though. So, I mean, short of us both going to a toy store and buying Battleship, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, look, unless you pay full admission, we can't afford that.
Mm-hmm. If you'd like to pay full admission, we hear there's a guy out there taking money. So, you know, just give it to him.
Or try and give him a battleship game for that. Oh, maybe maybe he'll take barter at this point. Strange little green felt man. But no,
what do you want from us, felt man?
We don't have the means, is the thing. Seriously, we can't do it. Like, there's no good software that we know.
Not enough room in the show budget for battleships.
Right. So, since you clearly just won't let this go and you want to hear us do something, we've decided to play Pictionary.
Mm-hmm.
We will be doing that throughout this episode, and that's why I wanted to address this at the top of the show. Is this the top of the show?
Does it work from the top down to the bottom?
It seems no. Well, I don't know. I mean, do we get funnier or less funny as it goes?
Here at the side of the show.
As we're moving to the other side of the show. At the beginning. How about that? On the wagon, off the wagon. Isn't the wagon where they keep the booze?
No, you fall off the wagon into the booze.
Right. No, at the beginning of the show here, okay, we're going to play Pictionary. First, Matt, how about you go first? You draw first and I will guess.
All right, hang on.
And we'll periodically stop throughout the course of the show.
All right, let's see here.
What could he be drawing? Are you done yet?
All right.
Okay. Is it a camel?
No.
All right, on with the show. I'll check into that a bit later. We have some breaking news, actually. Another thing I wanted to mention on the bottom of the show here, the flip side of the show,
the event horizon of the show.
I really need a GPS for the show. I'm flailing, wandering in circles, finding where here, we are in the show.
Here in the desert of the show.
No, it's surrounded by an impassable desert, so you stay within the boundaries of the show.
Oh.
Wait, no, that's King's Quest. No, I found this, and again, since we record this about a week and a half in advance, this is very old news at this.
Past.
Yeah, but this is something that I wanted to share with everyone, and I want everyone to be aware of. Gallagher, that guy that we made eat his own ass a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Corwin, one of our pals who drew us some great cover art there, is a jerk. Not Corwin. Yep. Corwin, I mean, I'm not talking about Corwin. Well. I'm talking about Gallagher. Gallagher is a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really feel bad that we turned him into the human centipede, but...
because, I mean, here's the thing. Like, you know, we'd assumed that he wasn't a jerk, but that he wasn't important.
Well, no,
or
he's a joke.
Fun. Yeah, exactly.
He's not relevant, and he's ridiculous looking. I think it was the visual hook. I mean, it was your concept, the idea of the striped shirt and the funny little beret that he wears and the mustache and the greasy long Ron Jeremy hair.
He really does look like Ron Jeremy,
doesn't he?
Ron Jeremy must be Gallagher 4.
He'll always be Gallagher 1 in my mind.
The Voyage Gallagher.
But no, there's this article and link in the show notes as always. Mm-hmm. from a Seattle paper that I read, or website, or I don't know. It's a paper that publishes a website, and I don't even know what you call it. It's in my RSS feed, The Stranger. It's like the little alternative paper here in Seattle.
It's a really creepy name for a newspaper.
It is. It's awesome.
Does it ever ask you if you want to buy an O?
No, but the personals in there are super creepy.
Hey, buddy, want to buy an O?
Who, me?
No. All right. How about an article about Gallagher?
Well, this was Gallagher's doing his tour, and he came around here, and the staff reviewer went to the show and reviewed it. And what they found was that Gallagher is a fucking, like, horrible racist homophobe. Now, this is a typical alternative paper in a fairly progressive city, meaning that sometimes people are sort of knee-jerk, like, oh, everything's racist. Like, no, sometimes people just tell dirty jokes or off-color jokes. No, this was full-blown, not funny, just mean and angry and calling the president a terrorist and talking about the homos. And you really got to read this story. It's just, it's horrible.
Doesn't at one point he hit a thing of Chinese food with the hammer and go, this is the Chinese people?
The Chinese and the homos, I think he said. Let me pull up the article now
so I can get my facts exactly right. He talks about the homos a lot.
Yeah. All right, the article says, then Gallagher gets a tin pie plate. He opens a giant can of fruit cocktail and pours it in. He opens a can of some Asian vegetable, water chestnuts maybe, and pours that in too. This is the China people and queers, he screams, and takes his sledgehammer to the thing with a fury that is no fun at all.
Wow.
Wet chunks of China people and queers fly everywhere.
Yeah, that's some comedic gold there, Gallagher.
Yeah, that's on par with Michael Richards just shouting out horrible racial epithets for no reason at all.
Like, I mean, look, I would never accuse Gallagher of being funny, but...
No, I've said this before. I thought some of his wordplay, like not the, well, the watermelon thing was never funny.
No.
But some of his wordplay in his old act actually kind of made me chuckle. It wasn't awesome. I wouldn't put him on a list, you know, of great comedians or anything like that. But I have to admit, when, you know, sort of in the late, mid to late 80s, when stand-up comedy was this sort of big, like, you know, those guys were like rock stars.
And when stand-up was king!
It was. There was a weird period where, like, Andrew Dice Clay was selling out Madison Square Garden and just... There's another one, but that's another thing.
Dateline, 1984. Andrew Dice Clay sells out Madison Square Garden.
Yes, exactly. Only more like 1990. But, no, there was a time when it was all over, like, MTV and a few other cable channels. And you couldn't turn on the TV without seeing some stand-up. There was stand-up on all the time, which, you know, being a kid who enjoyed comedy and was trying to learn what was funny, you know, it was cool. It was a good time.
Yeah.
But, and I caught myself watching Gallagher from time to time, and he made me laugh. I'm not going to lie. But that those days are long gone. He seems to be one of these sort of creepy teabag douchebag guys.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that.
So that's a thing.
Now we feel sort of strangely prescient that we...
Yeah.
We were 5 minutes ahead of the curve here.
We did the right thing.
Yeah, by asking Corwin to render him with his head up his own ass, because that's about right. And as a nice, funny little epilogue to this, looking at his website, at his at the tour dates this summer, he's playing a Juggalo festival, Juggalo gathering, an insane clown posse. Whatever they call those things, I guess they're more than concerts. They have like weekend events,
weekend Juggalos.
He's going to be one of them. So worlds are colliding, I suppose. So yeah, looking back at this sort of film pitch in progress we have going, this sort of the idea of the different Gallaghers, and you know, we've talked about this, we've revisited it from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that we were definitely right to cast him as the villain.
Yeah.
And unquestionably now we are on Team Joel.
Well, I mean, was that ever really an issue between the two of them?
I suppose not, but now particularly so.
I want to see Joel build like the superior watermelon crusher. I bet he could.
A robot, you mean?
Yeah.
A robot crushing, or a watermelon crushing robot, or a robot crushing watermelon for that matter. I bet he could do it.
Either of those would be fine.
Yeah. So that's just, that's a...
So if you're listening, Joel, and we know you are...
Well, first of all, I saw you about a year ago when Cinematic Titanic came to town, and that was a lot of fun. Good show. But Yeah, that's we're squarely on your side here in this whole.
Please defeat Gallagher.
Yes, for the love of God, and remember there are several of them.
So and his army of Gallaguys.
Smash him like a Chinese queer, I suppose. These are Gallagher's words, not mine.
No.
I love the Chinese queers. What else do we have here in the news? I wrote down that Larry King is leaving his show, but I realize there's really not much to say about that.
No.
It amuses me to think that the show is still going to be called Larry King Live and they'll have someone else on it. But that's...
I wonder what they're going to call it when Larry King inevitably dies.
That's a good point. I'm pretty sure he died a few years ago. have you seen the guy? I mean, it's a cheap shot and an easy joke, but come on, look at him.
I live.
He's 96,000 years old. And not a kind 96,000 either. Not like he's not 96,000 years young.
Tonight's episode of Larry King is brought to you by The Mummy.
So, yeah. Oh, he's only 76. Well.
Wow.
Yeah. That's...
He does not look 76.
No.
He looks like the Crypt Keeper.
He does. Well, he looks like if the Crypt Keeper were a frog. Because he's got the sort of bulgy eyes and the...
Welcome to the crypt, boys and girls.
No. A real frog.
Oh, I don't like those as much.
No. But they're more grotesque.
Well, that's true.
That frog's lovable. That's the problem. There's nothing lovable about Larry King.
Coming up next on Larry King, a lovable frog.
Oh, time to take another guess at your Pictionary. Is it a hippo?
No.
All right. So speaking of old people, great segue there.
As we are wont to do.
Well, as we happen to be doing. I don't want to spend too much time on this because we've talked a lot about the porn parody thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we did an entire show about this, and I don't want to talk about this for too long.
Incidentally, we will not be talking about porn with old people.
Well,
so.
That's kind of what I'm getting to here. Yes,
oh.
I will for a moment.
Oh, my.
Well, the most recent porn parody, sitcom porn parody that I happened to discover, almost said come across, dodge a bullet there, is... The Golden Girls.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Yeah. And link in the show notes. They've been, whoever's been producing these things, I don't have the name handy of the studio that's doing these, has really smart marketing because they're putting these on YouTube. They're making, you know, safe for work trailers so that people can see these things and laugh at them. And then they go home and probably like actually buy them. So, you know, secretly. But
it's just, I mean, this is not. Even like the strangest one that they've done.
Well, no, we've named the Big Lebowski and the Monday Night Football.
Yeah,
but the Golden Girls.
Yeah,
who has watched that show and thought, "Wow, I sure wish I could see Rose naked."
Oh, Sophia.
Yeah, take me back to St. Olaf. So, and apparently, judging from the trailer...
This is what we call a St. Olaf steamer.
Nice. Judging from the trailer, they actually did a smart thing with the premise, which was they did, like they always do, they set up the set and everything to look the same. Mm-hmm. And they dressed up sort of current porn actresses as old ladies. And they're sitting around that kitchen table and they're telling stories of their youth.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would flash back to them when they were young and hot.
See, that's a clever take on...
Right. What could have gone horribly, horribly wrong.
Yeah.
You could be looking at Larry King having sex. So.
I mean, look, I get that there's an audience for that out there. I don't like to think about that, but, you know, it exists.
Oh, it definitely exists. But, and you know, we don't judge on this show. I mean, you know, you're a fucking weirdo, but we don't judge.
Don't, well, listen, like, whatever you want to get up to, but don't tell me about it, because you, old people.
Yeah, you have a thing about old people. Being one, I'm a little more
drag me back to the crypt.
But
I am the sign of your mortality, Matt. Also, I'm naked.
Also, I'm Vincent Price for some reason. Egg. But no, I mean, yeah, you're right. That is a clever premise. The problem is the people who are into that sort of fringe, the word fetish stuff is that it doesn't sell sort of mainstream, so they had to come up with a way to, you know, turn it into normal mainstream porn.
Now it's porn everyone can enjoy,
right? Well, Nah. I'm still not rushing to see the Golden Girls, even sitting around telling stories about having sex. No. Blanche was enough. That she was the sex pot. You didn't need all four of them talking about, you know. But we would be remiss if we didn't let you people know that it does, in fact, exist.
Yeah, so next time you're at your local pornographer's, demand the Golden Girls porn.
Which I believe is called Golden Girls XXX.
Ask for it by name.
In the tradition of all the great clever titles they've come up with.
Yep.
So that. And while we're giving you news updates, one more thing. I don't know why we've done this, but what the hell, I'm going to roll with it. There's an update on the Barefoot Bandit, who we've talked about several times. And again, link in the show notes. Apparently he's still at large. He's still just baffling authorities all over the place. He's crossed like six state lines. And no one has any idea where he is. He's going around doing this Robin Hood thing.
Mm-hmm.
And a quick recap. He's a 17-year-old kid who stole... Oh, excuse me, 19-year-old. Who stole an airplane in this area. He's from Seattle. He's a local boy. Mm-hmm. Flew planes like all over the place. He wasn't wearing shoes initially, apparently. That's why they call him the Barefoot Bandit.
And because it's awesome.
Well, yeah. Flying his planes all over the place. The thing that really struck me was when he flew his plane over the border during the Olympics,
mm-hmm.
caught some events in the Vancouver Olympics amid all the security, the special security.
Yeah.
And then flew back and they didn't catch him. Didn't even know he was there until after he'd gone.
He spray painted Barefoot Bandit was here on one of Vancouver's many national landmarks.
With a cartoon foot next to it.
Damn you, Barefoot Bandit!
But apparently he's been seen in South Dakota, Nebraska, Iowa, Washington, Oregon, and Idaho, as well as, as I said, Vancouver. He, apart from the actual stealing of airplanes, which of course is a crime, but apart from that, he's not doing anything wrong. Apparently he's doing this whole Robin Hood thing where, like one time it says, over Memorial Day weekend, he left a signed note and $100 at the door of an animal hospital. And he's been doing that sort of thing all over the place where he's just like, he's not taking money. He's not hurting people. He's stealing airplanes and going on crazy adventures and helping people. I mean, there's a TV series inherent in this. There's like a 70s. I mean, wasn't every 70s adventure show about somebody who was on the run from the law? And
it sounds like Quantum Leap. If Quantum Leap were about a guy with no shoes and a plane.
Or the Hulk, if the Hulk was just white and small. Because he was already barefoot.
Well, yes. Most of the time, anyway.
But apparently his mother has gotten him a lawyer and who's demanding that he turn himself in.
Or when he is inevitably caught.
I'm amused by this because the lawyer almost certainly has book deals lined up and everything.
Oh, yeah. I defended the Barefoot Bandit.
This kid wants... I mean, he just wants to go off and do whatever the hell he's doing. But I wanted to give that update because we had talked about him before. And
so if you're out there, Barefoot Bandit, and listening, probably with Joel, send us an email. We'd love to hear from you.
We think you're awesome. And
we really, really do.
And if you need to send it from, you know, someplace secret, we understand. And we certainly, you know, wouldn't turn you in. Well, depending on the reward, I suppose. We do need some battleship games here.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, is it a turnip?
No.
No. Damn it. All right. I've continued my descent into gaming madness.
Yes.
That's happened. And it's continuing to happen. I actually, I can't say with full truthiness that that I defeated the Transformers game, but I beat 90% of it, and Amanda beat the final boss for me.
So what did you think?
I loved it.
Was it everything you prayed for?
Absolutely. Well, you know, since I was a kid and I really enjoyed the cartoons, I always wanted to be able to, you know, control a guy that can drive really fast, jump up in the air, turn into a robot, shoot some stuff, and turn back into a car.
See, that's just badass.
Yes. And you don't have to be into the whole, you know, the Autobots and Decepticons and all that crap to appreciate why that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And there's different levels where you get to be a car guy or a plane guy, and... There was a great level where you fight Soundwave, the guy who ejects his different tapes.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're fighting like Laserbeak, and then you're fighting like the little robot guy that pounds the ground, Rumble. And it's this nice little, like, it wasn't overly saturated in old school continuity at all, but there were a lot of nice touches. Starscream was a dick. He totally, like, at the first chance, like, Megatron goes out for coffee and he's like, Megatron's gone. I'm the leader now. Like, no, stop it. And they wrote Optimus Prime correctly, which is a total jerk, like a terrible leader.
Like, they wrote him correctly, so that sucked.
No, that was great. The guy who does his voice is awesome. I think the character is an idiot, but I think he's well written as an idiot, so.
I found out today that he was the voice of Mario in the Donkey Kong cartoon.
Yeah. That guy's all
Frank
over the place.
Welker was the voice of Donkey Kong.
Yeah, that's about right.
That's less surprising, though.
Unfortunately, I guess Frank Welker couldn't reprise his role as Megatron. He can't do the voice anymore.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Megatron's got kind of a voice like this. And it's hard to do when you're... Well,
we've got to go back to Cybertron. Remember me, Optimus Prime, when I killed your brother.
Optimus Fred? No, but there's a lot of nice little nods to the continuity. There's stuff like there's an Autobot called Jetfire who in the cartoon started out as Starscream's friend, and then Starscream was a dick and turned his back on him, and they did that. And a lot of stuff like that. There were absolutely no humans in it, which is exactly what I want from a robot thing.
Best news of all.
Yes. It's really everything I wanted out of the live action flick. So, I mean, I was very pleased.
You needed a mini game where you got to play as one of the cassette guys.
There's a lot of unlockable stuff.
That's really cool.
But there's a lot of, like, I pre-ordered from whatever the hell the game store is.
GameStop.
Probably. I think that's the only one now, isn't it?
Spotbot.
Eggs. And because of that, I got Shockwave as an unlockable character, which is neat. He's the guy with a dot for a face.
Is he the one that talks like he's got the robot voice?
No, that's Soundwave. That's the tape.
No.
That's the guy I was talking about a minute ago. No, okay. I don't expect you to know all this crap. I mean, it's my thing. I'm excited about it, but as a fan,
not Shockwave, it's Soundwave. Yeah, you idiot.
Obviously. Oh. Well, Soundwave. Soundwave is the tape guy. Soundwave. No, it doesn't matter. It's, like I said, I don't want to get too deep into the stuff. I know some people listening followed me over from the reviews, and I do appreciate that. But I don't want to turn this into a Transformers show. I just wanted to say I was very pleased with the game, and as a guy who hasn't played modern games much and kind of needed a crash course in how to play a modern game, it's really good that something came out that I'm really interested in, because it forced me to figure out how, you know, the controller works and how, you know, just little stuff that you all take for granted.
Yeah. They really sort of made that one for you.
Yeah. Because now I feel like I'm kind of up to speed and I can pick up another PS3 game and learn the controls a lot quicker and figure out what's going on. And I don't feel so disoriented anymore because I've played a game that I enjoy. And
hello, Ghostbusters.
Yeah, exactly. I have that in the pile, ready to go.
Ooh.
What else? We got Arkham Asylum ready to go. That's awesome. Be fun.
Grand Theft Horse.
Yeah. Amanda beat that, and it's kind of like I was like 10% through, and Transformers came out, and after the
so long, sudden, Grand Theft Horse.
Yeah, and now she's beaten it, and it's like, I guess I could. My problem was we bought Grand Theft Horse and then GTA 4.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I really only need one sort of open, violent game.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of like every now and then popping in a sandbox game just to run around and cause mayhem.
See, I actually like doing the game. Like, I really like the stories in those games.
Oh, I do too. But sometimes just to let off steam, I'd like to just pop it in and run around and shoot things for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, there's not so much of that in Grand Theft Horse just because it's a sort of big open world.
There was enough of it. It satisfied that urge in me. What I'm saying is, if I'd known they were similar enough, I would have just gotten Grand Theft Horse. Because when I come home from work and I've had a really bad day and I pop it in for like 15 minutes and just ride around on my horse and shoot people and jump off and shoot my horse and, you know.
Clap your hands.
Yeah, it just makes me feel better.
That knife game.
But I'm actually watching Amanda play GTA now, and it's kind of hilarious.
I really like the guy in that game.
She has a valid complaint about the early part of the game, which is you're not committing any crimes at all. You have to drive the speed limit and look out for cops and watch out for snakes. And it's just boring. Like, your missions are like...
pick up the groceries.
Yeah, go on a date. Seeing her complain about that is great. And watching her, she's never really driven a car. Like, she's got a learner's permit and done it a little bit, but not really in traffic. It's really funny watching her sort of grandma out of an alley.
GTA will fuck you up for real driving.
Oh, yeah. I bet. I mean, I can imagine. Because you don't drive a lot either. You guys live near a city.
I can barely
drive
at all. And I was teaching I was learning how to drive when I got GTA 4. Mm-hmm. And you honestly have to start telling yourself, okay, you cannot just cut in front of this guy.
No,
you cannot drive on the lawn.
Those are conflicting impulses there. You're learning to drive in two different environments, and that's just bad.
You cannot just drive over the Meridian.
Yeah.
You cannot get out of this car and get another car.
No, that's frowned upon in the real world. Well, in America, I don't know how it works in Canada, but in the United States.
Oh, in Canada, it's perfectly legal.
Oh, well. No wonder the Barefoot Bandit got off so easy there.
his jet in for a car and drove to safety.
The funny thing is watching her play, she's a big Warcraft person, big like fantasy games like Dragon Age and, you know, a lot of stuff based in fantasy worlds. So everything she does, she refers to as like quests and potions. The cops are chasing her and she needs a potion. She's on a quest right now to shoot some guy. No.
Yeah, the quest to pick up the cocaine.
Yeah. No, you're on a mission. That's not a quest. That's a mission. And she, you know, once she realizes that I'm correcting her, she'll, you know, insist 10 times harder.
She'll do it forever.
Yeah. So yeah. She right now she's performing quests as a Russian mobster.
Go forth, Niko Bellic, to the ancient land that is called the Docks. There you must slay the dragon and bring me the cup of cocaine.
Yes.
And slay the mighty hooker.
Beat the prostitute.
Tongues.
Your shillelagh of power.
Tongue of flame. Vagina of crabs.
So, yeah. Oh, and I also got a copy of the Orange Box just so I could play Portal. And
awesome.
Which I'm late to that party as well. So very.
I love Portal.
The problem I was having, and I was worried this was my own stupidity, was playing it on the Mac, which it just came out for.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're the Mac. I was really having trouble with the first person perspective, like moving the camera around. And I thought it was me. I thought it was way back in like the mid 90s. I had real problems with like Doom and Wolfenstein and all those early first person perspective 3D games.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh God, I stopped gaming around then and I never got back into it. And these things have evolved and I haven't evolved with them and I don't know what the fuck I'm doing now.
And they've just gotten more complicated since then. It's like, shit, now you can look up.
Yeah. Well, I always get lost. I always keep walking in a circle and I don't know where I am and I can never figure out that I've passed the same thing 20 times.
I've walked past this painting of Hitler like 18 times.
The eyes are following me. Yeah. So I really thought, oh God, I guess I'm kind of an idiot. I just have no spatial, like I'm a spatial relations tard. And I can't play Portal, which sucks because I can tell the puzzles are constructed well. I can tell the writing is hilarious. I just, I'm no good at it. But I got a copy of it for PS3 and it turns out it's just the controls. It's just having the two sticks, one to move the camera, one to move my guy. I'm perfect. No problem at all. So it was just, it was doing it with a keyboard that fucked me up, not to.
Yeah. That sort of keyboard mouse thing.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm actually having a great time with it now. I mean, I'm barely into it because I've been doing other stuff, but I'm really enjoying the hell out of that.
That game is a delight.
Yeah. And part two should be coming out soon. And I'm really looking
forward to it. Yes. Oh.
Famous Mark, take a drink. Just released a game called Puzzle Agent, which we've mentioned before. I just started playing that and it's also fun. I've only been playing it for like a day and my brain wasn't really into it. So I haven't given it a fair shot yet. But I'm told it's a lot like Professor Layton, which I haven't played. Only it's got more of a story to it. Like, there's more of a reason that there's puzzles and stuff, so.
Professor Something and the Something Something?
Yeah, Professor, and the sequel, Something Something's in Professor Something. Something to the Rise of Professor Something. But he was telling me that at E3, where they premiered the game, they were up for, like, 5 different awards.
Oh, nice.
And they lost, I think they lost 4 of them to Portal 2.
Of course.
And he's like, well, you know what? If we're going to lose, losing to Portal 2, it's fine.
You can do a lot worse than that.
We can't even compete. They did win Best iPhone Game.
Oh, nice.
Which I can see. They adapted this to lots of different stuff. They put it out for the iPad and the consoles and the computers. And I can see how this would work on the iPhone. It looks like a lot of fun. So
cool.
So, yeah, that looks great. But, yeah, Portal, I'm having a lot of fun with. And the best part, I seem to have been promised delicious cake, which I can't wait to have. So
Yeah, you're in for a real treat.
I bet. Mm-hmm. I don't ruin the end for me now. Is it a tulip?
What?
You're drawing.
Oh, no.
Damn it.
Man.
Another thing
Look closely at it. Here.
Look, underlining it doesn't make me...
This is not hard. Look. All right. This thing.
Ugh. Is it dignity, Luann? That doesn't count as a guess.
It's a door. Use it.
Can I borrow a feeling? That's you. You look like a jerk. We're just going to do that episode now.
I'm so glad we did away with that verboten thing.
Oh, hell yes. The thing is, since we did that, we haven't been throwing around the Simpsons and the Star Wars stuff around like crazy like I thought we would.
But we could.
We could. But the nice thing is, I think it did wean us off of just speaking in nothing but that. Mm-hmm. Like, it took away our two biggest crutches so that we had to, you know. I stand by that decision, is what mm-hmm. I'm saying.
No, we did the right thing.
Yeah. Throwing a trash can through a window?
Yes, that is always the right thing.
Well, if you watch that movie, Do the Right Thing, that's apparently what the right thing is.
Ah.
Or if you listen to Wilford Brimley, doing the right thing is eating oatmeal.
It's the right thing to do.
Right. So,
and also contract diabetes.
Diabetes.
Is that Wilford Brimley?
Yes, it is.
Excellent. Diabetes.
Now you sound like Scruffy, the janitor.
I had diabetes once.
Never seen you before. I've never seen you before either. Have you managed to catch any of the new Futurama yet?
I have not yet. No, they aren't playing them. I have watched old Futurama.
You need to use your piratey wiles and find that on the high seas, because
I have no piratey wiles.
That's a shame. It's been fun. It's I gotta admit, it doesn't feel as clever, like as deep, like there's quite as much going on, but it's still really fun to see, and it still makes me laugh a lot. It's just, I've been watching some of the older episodes and then, you know, kind of leading into this. And it's, like I said, it's still good. I don't want to sound like, you know, it's not as good as it used to be. Like,
no, excuse me.
First of all, there's only 3 episodes and 26 planned, so I'm definitely not willing to make that call yet. I think I read that they had gotten rid of some of the writers. They had to reduce the writing staff to stay on budget. Mm. And you can kind of tell, like, there's not as many, you know, layered jokes in it.
To just David X. Cohen.
Right. But, well, and Matt.
And there's no one to stop him from making math jokes.
No, there's still some of that, but no more than before. It does feel like harder sci-fi, though. That kind of makes up for it.
Mm.
Like, so far, the plots have been more conventional sci-fi, like, more exploring standard sci-fi things in an interesting way, which is cool.
Mm.
It feels almost, I mean, it's still funny. It's still very much a comedy, but it feels less like a comedy and more like a sci-fi show with jokes.
Cool.
Which is fine.
It's
a bit of a different feel, and it's taken a little getting used to. And again, I've only seen 3, and I don't want to say it's all like that. But
right.
But so far, that's what it feels like. But it's great to have it back. It's really fantastic to see that show.
I mean, like, the movies weren't bad. Like,
I went back and watched them again recently, and I liked them a lot better the second time around.
But I'm really glad that the show is back.
Yeah. Well, the movies felt like there was too much going on to me.
Yeah.
The ones I had a big problem with is, like, I like all the pieces. And I realized I was just complaining that not enough was going on. But there is a happy medium here.
Let me get this straight. You want people in real life situations swarming with magic robots.
Yes, that's right. No, it's... The level of jokes is what I'm talking about in the current shows, whereas before it was too much plot. There was a lot of plot. There was, like, they always had to give Bender something to do on top of all the other stuff, and it just, sometimes it felt a little too busy.
But what's Bender up to? Is he bending something?
Well, it's a bit telling that 2 of the more titled Benders something something.
Bender goes to jail. Bender also, goes to camp.
Also, Fry exists. No, but I realized that even the ones I didn't care for, there was a couple I wasn't, I liked less than the others. Let's put it that way. I liked all the pieces. It just felt like there was, like, way too much going on.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like I know you really liked the Beast with a Billion Backs.
I did. And because it was weird and creepy.
I liked that. There's just a lot of other stuff going on that just kind of distracted from the main, like Bender's whole subplot.
Yeah.
It paid off at the end, but for a long time it felt like, why are we cutting away from the cool stuff? But
if you're
itself,
doing a movie, if you're doing a movie, you really can't write it like it's an episode of the show.
Yeah, that's, and the problem was, I think they were doing both, because they were writing it so it could be split up into episodes too. And I think it was struggling. It was trying so hard to cone.
Mm-hmm. My other thing is that if you're doing a movie, it should feel bigger.
True. The first one definitely felt bigger.
Yeah, it did. But like after that, it sort of, I don't know, especially Bender's Game felt just a lot smaller.
Yeah.
And I think that was the last one, right?
No. The last one was Into the Wild Green Yonder, which I actually thought felt kind of big.
Yeah.
Not as big. The first one was definitely the best. That was the one, the time travel one, where they put so many restrictions on themselves. Like, they did time travel like once.
Mm-hmm.
And they finally just said, fuck it. This might be the last thing we ever do. Let's just open the time travel door and go nuts.
So instead, they went bug nuts.
And they did. They went like all kinds of, they gave us all kinds of backstory we'd never seen. And they explained a lot of like great little, I mean, that one was so full of little nods and inside jokes. And
hey, all you people who are sad about Fry's dog, it's better now.
I kind of like that sad ending to be back, though.
It's
not like we're doing the theme shows ever again, but I wouldn't mind only talking about Futurama for an entire show sometime.
I would be perfectly fine with that.
No, we won't call it a theme show. That'll be something else.
No, of course. People don't watch those. No, we won't.
Not at all. Well, they don't watch our podcast at all.
They stare stock straight at the monitor as the little thing goes along.
Despite Blandy calling all his submissions viewer mail.
Well, I mean, we do view the mail.
True. And we do give you, cover art and links to other things, but
all these things that you can view.
True. Speaking of things that you can view,
mm-hmm.
and Futurama, no, there was, you actually, I saw you linking to this as well. There's this awesome, version of New York.
Oh yeah. That was fucking awesome.
In Lego.
Yeah.
And there's like every building that you've seen, every major location of the show. There's like the Planet Express building, Madison Cube Garden, like the robot arms apartment.
Robot and then, house?
And then underneath of it is a whole layer of sewer mutants.
Mm.
This guy put like 2 years into this thing, and it's amazing and totally worth looking at.
But during that time, he lost his job, his mother died, his girlfriend left him.
Yeah, but he's got our respect.
He's got this. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, earning our respect is so much more important than any of those other things.
It's harder too.
Yeah. You should check that out. Let me give another guess. Is it an armadillo?
No.
No. Hmm. You sure?
Pretty sure. Hang on. Let me have a look at this thing again.
You're not getting me on some kind of technicality, right?
No. It is not an armadillo.
Like, it's not even something close to an armadillo, or like, I'm...
What is close to an armadillo? You tell me. You tell me what's like an armadillo, but isn't an armadillo.
An aardvark?
Fair enough.
Those things aren't anything alike, are they?
It is also not an aardvark, nor is it a disgusting anteater.
Well, thank Christ, Jesus. Last thing I want is a filthy anteater.
Revolting anteater.
Okay.
Listen, if it was an anteater, I wouldn't even do it. I'd just quit.
All right, you know what? I think we're past the halfway point. I think it's time. I'm going to call a draw. I don't know. I have no idea.
It's Batman.
Of course it's Batman. All right, I suppose it's my turn now. I shall now draw a thing that you need to guess.
All right,
so I'll be drawing that here for you now.
Looks like a vole.
I'm not finished yet.
Well, it looks like a vole right now. Okay.
All right, there. I've now drawn the thing that you need to guess what it is.
Is it two voles?
No, it's not in any way vole related.
It's a bowl of voles.
That's a good vole bowl.
Is it Kentucky?
No, you only get one guess right now.
Oh.
Your turn will come again later.
Are you sure it's not Kentucky?
I didn't say one way or the other. You'll have to use that for your next turn.
Shit.
Okay, give it like 5 minutes.
All right, fine.
I've been taking between 5 and 10 minutes between guesses. So.
Very well.
All right.
Because it looks like Kentucky.
I'm going to save my answer until...
all I'm saying.
Yeah, well, no, I'm not going to tell you yet. It may very well be, but I'm not going to tell you yet.
All right, fine.
The other thing I wanted to mention, getting back into the flow of the show here, because, you know, as Ted pointed out, this won't interrupt the flow of the show in any way, playing a game
the show online, flow.
Or playing a game over Skype here.
No.
The other thing I've been using my PS3 for... is watching Blu-rays, because I've never Never had a Blu-ray player before.
Yes.
I'm not a big HD guy. Not a big, you know, everything has to be crystal clear. Like, when I first moved in here, there's HD cable, and they hooked it up to my TV. And happened to have HBO at the time, and he showed me an episode of The Sopranos. And I really do not need to see every pore in James Gandolfini's face.
No, that is a man who you do not need to see in any kind of definition.
No, that is a show full of... I'm pretty sure if you looked at the casting sheet for The Sopranos, they were looking for grotesques. I'm pretty sure that's what they call that kind of actor.
Whatever happened to Al? Well, he was watching The Sopranos one time, and he fell into one of Tony Soprano's pores.
So that kind of scared me off, and I think I've mentioned this on the show. I probably will get my handful of like my top 10 movies on Blu-ray, like in HD, because I would like to see like a Star Wars movie in crystal perfect clarity and like Back to the Future or something like that. But for the most part, don't care. But the odd thing is something I really wanted to get, something that pushed me to get this, was a 45-year-old TV show.
Of course.
Of course, the original Star Trek.
But of course.
Absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that the Star Wars special editions should have been, I think.
Yeah.
Because it preserved the intent of the original, you know, writing and the original designs without feeling like, look at all the flashing stuff and all the stuff we can do now.
Yeah, hey, look, we have a dancing Jawa in the background.
Yeah, and you know, I don't even dislike the special editions, but I will admit that they're very different movies.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas these feel like the exact same episodes, just like cleaned up a bit, and like the planets don't look like specks on the film, they look like planets, and each one looks like a different planet.
They didn't feel the need to put in a single musical number.
Not yet.
Except in Way to Eden. Just filled it with musical numbers.
I only got season one so far, so don't spoil it for me.
Spock rocking out on the Vulcan lute.
But
playing White Rabbit for some reason.
Oh, have you seen that?
What?
Surely you must. I'm pretty sure we've linked it on the show before.
What?
The White Rabbit, the YouTube White Rabbit thing.
Did Leonard Nimoy actually do White Rabbit?
No. This is one of those great YouTube mashups, I guess you call them. Somebody edited the song White Rabbit to Star Trek footage, and it looks amazing. Like it's
no,
really
I have
clever.
I've never heard of this.
Oh, well, after the show, I'll show you and...
I just think it would be really funny to have Spock rock out on his lute playing White Rabbit.
No, because they have footage of that, and they have footage from the episode Shore Leave where there's a White Rabbit running around.
White Rabbit, right.
Yeah. But the really amazing thing of getting back to the Blu-rays is when they're on a planet, when they're supposed to be on a planet, but they're clearly on a soundstage, if they shot it on blue screen, they're able to composite in an entire planetscape behind them.
Oh, yeah.
So it's no longer just like, well, here's a couple of papier-mâché pillars. Now it really looks like there's a whole planet behind them. And if they're in an office, like there's stuff happening out the window, and just it's really well done. And you could switch back to the old if you don't like it, you can switch back to the old version. But
that just makes you a communist.
But yeah, it's impressive. There's even episodes where they couldn't completely fix, like the Gorn, the lizard guy, still looks like a guy in a rubber suit.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's not much you can do to that.
I always thought that was a great design that deserved better, but they make him blink.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's a tiny, subtle little thing, but in close up, every now and then, there's like a little quick flash by his eyes, and I'm like, oh,
that's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, they try so hard to cone, but like
his mouth is still a grill, but
yeah. But like there's like the
fighting Gorn.
I would break my personal ban on sports to follow the fighting Gorn, a team called the fighting Gorn, Seattle fighting Gorn. But their fight song would have to be. All right. We got some mail to get to here. Some further mail.
Awesome.
To get to here. So let's do that. More mail from Beeve. My fellow Voyagers, where were you when you heard that Michael Jackson died? TV says everyone remembers where they were when they heard he died. Your pal Beef.
I actually do remember.
Well, I was at work.
Mm.
But what I remember is that Twitter broke.
Yeah, exactly. Twitter went fucking bug nuts.
That was the first time I think I ever realized that huge news breaks Twitter. Like anytime something enormous happens and grinds Twitter to an utter halt that, you know.
I love that it's not even that you're getting news on Twitter. You're getting people making fun of what happened.
Well,
that's
I mean,
what you'll see first.
The first wave of it is OMG, Michael Jackson's dead. And then the second wave of it is, you know, guys being dicks. Mm-hmm.
And then that's my favorite part.
Well, yeah, exactly. But I do remember that was one of those things where it was like they thought he was dead and then he wasn't, but then he mm-hmm. really was. And it was utter chaos. And I just, you know, I was a fan of the guy back in the day, but I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And come on, I want Twitter. So, I remember feeling a bit selfish about that. And that's my default.
Yes, he was. This is all well and good. But can I go back to making Watchmen jokes?
Yeah,
yet?
Look, I have clever hashtags to make. So mm-hmm. Don't interrupt me with your death.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, is it Kentucky?
No.
All right.
Not even close.
Damn.
So we remember where we were. We just don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't Kentucky.
It was on Twitter.
Yeah. Where we always are.
Yeah.
Next question also comes from Beav, and he writes, "Dearest Mal and At."
I think you're listening to the wrong podcast.
I think so. At versus Mal. who do you feel has the best on-air voice of all your female guests? Oh, Beav, are you doing this again? Really? We've talked about this. You need to... This was not who was the best guest, not a popularity contest, just based on how they sounded.
Mm-hmm. It's clearly Amanda.
Well, no, definitely
I have
not.
A hat.
No, but Beav is really obsessed with our female guests. Uncomfortably so, I would say.
Knock it off, Beav.
And I know the guy. I've known him for a while. He's a happily married guy. He's got two young daughters. Like, he should know better.
Mm.
What's wrong with you? Also, the answer is Annie. next question comes from Duh. And he writes, "Dear Algar Matt and possible special guest, no guest. Hi, how are you? I'm bored. I'm standing in line for an iPhone with nothing better to do." Oh, wow. This was a while ago. "The line is so long. It's so long I feel like I'm part of a human centipede. I taste bacon. Took that joke too far." Yeah, you did.
Are you standing behind Flonk?
Moving on. "I'm trying not to Twitter every time I move in line, but I did Twitter that they gave us smart water. Oh, Apple, how witty you are. Sweet, I moved again. I should have just ordered it on..." Okay, so he's just going on and on and on about how he's standing in line for a phone. You know, duh, I own an iPhone. I like my iPhone. I like Apple. I've supported Apple for a long time. But I'm not going too far out on a limb here to say you're an idiot to stand in line for a phone.
Mm-hmm.
It's a phone. Any thoughts, Matt?
I have a BlackBerry, and I got it like a year after BlackBerries came out, so I don't have this problem.
But I mean, if they released the best, like the new BlackBerry with all the shiniest features and the best thing, would you stand in line for one for hours?
No, I can wait till they get cheaper or something. I don't feel
if money weren't an issue. Like, I mean, put that aside. If you just really, really wanted it, could you still wait?
You know, if I really, really wanted it, I could probably do the lineup just because I don't mind lineups.
See, I find it tedious and horrible. I don't like standing in line for stuff.
I can get some Twittering done.
our pal Bob actually was standing in line for his for many hours. And Bob is, I love him like a brother. I truly, truly do. He was one of the three people I wanted at my wedding, and he was there. Mm. But he really is the sort of cartoon version of the Apple fanboy that you hear about. He brought his old iPhone, his iPad, and his MacBook or PowerBook or whatever Apple laptop he had with him in line so that he got IM and Twitter from one of them, and then when the batteries died, IM and Twitter with the next one. While he was waiting in line for a fourth device, he intended, and I believe ended up handing down his old iPhone to his son, who was waiting in line with him.
And then using those devices, he crafted a time belt.
He probably could. But I kept him company while he was in line because, you know, he's my pal and I like what talking to him. But, you know, come on.
Yeah.
You can't just wait a couple of days. I mean, you know.
The thing is, like, I don't have much of an interest in, you know, phones or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, the stuff that I would actually go out and wait for most of the time isn't something everyone else lines up for, you know?
Well, I mean, I put it into, you know, put it in perspective. Like, would you wait in line for a movie?
Yes.
Like when people were waiting around the block when the first Star Wars movie came out after 16 years and we were like, yay, you know?
Yeah, no, I did do that.
Like when fake Star Trek 2 finally comes out,
mm.
if they turned it into this frothing frenzy thing where you had to wait in line at midnight, would you do it?
Yeah, no, I'll totally do that.
See, I would just wait till Sunday.
Yeah, but you don't need to see, your need to see movies is not like mine.
When it comes to Star Trek, I think it's the same. That's why I use that example, because I was trying to come up with something that we can both relate
yeah,
to.
Yeah, that's true.
I just can't think of anything, and I like a lot of stuff, and anything. I could wait an extra day or two. It's not a big deal.
Now, there's some stuff I need right away, but an iPhone is definitely not one of them.
Well, no. And, I, you know, again, I love my iPhone, but this whole idea that we're better than them and us, you know, us and them, this whole, like,
yeah.
there's a series of just stupid little cartoons now that are like, you know, well, my BlackBerry's better than you, my Android's better than me. Like,
yeah, that's retarded.
It's basically just take all the stupid Marvel versus DC things and replace it with, you know, this phone and that phone.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, it bugs me. Anyway, moving on. Next question comes from Tidro, and she writes, "Dear Al, Matt, and other interested parties." I don't think anybody's interested.
No one has ever been interested in this.
No, and that's nothing against you, Tidro. It's just people are interested in what you have to say, just not in us.
No.
If you were attempting to capture a large, possibly reptilian creature, how would you go about it? This is just out of curiosity, of course. It's not like there's any really big lizards that I'm trying to catch. Theoretically, Tidro.
Well, first I need to find someone who had seen him.
Hang on. P.S. Just asking him for his address didn't work. I think the first mistake you may be making is I'm not convinced that Galiza, if you are indeed talking about Galiza, which obviously you are.
You should be talking about any giant reptile.
Yeah, that is related to the show in some way. I'm not convinced that Galiza is male. Using he, I don't know if it's correct. Mm-hmm. I just have this weird idea that the Galiza's female. Mostly because I want to see eggs. I would love to see tiny little galookies. Or whatever.
Just turning it into another remake of the American Godzilla.
No.
Broderick being chased through an ice rink by slathering Galiza spawn.
We established that Matthew Broderick equals Gene Wilder. Therefore,
Broderick so is dead. Chasing Matthew Broderick's corpse through right.
That's bad.
I would actually watch that movie.
I don't know, Tidro. I mean, you built, you put together the map of where people seen him.
Mm-hmm.
You seen him apparently. So I'm really not sure. I don't know.
No, when tracking the Wile E. Galiza, you're our usual go to.
Yeah, if you don't know, then nobody knows. So
we ain't seen him.
Nope, I never seen him. Seen him on Twitter. That's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Next question comes from Deke Winsome, and he writes, "I think you need more Mongol-related humor. We've heard plenty about fat people, gays, and Bible belters. I think Mongols are the next horizon in the world for humor. So what do you think? Is there comedic gold in making fun of Mongol hordes?" All right, first of all, I think you've heard plenty about those things from Gallagher, not from us.
Yeah.
We're not big into that kind of humor. Well, humor. As far as the Mongol thing, the problem is I think South Park's been there first and better.
Yeah, they there's not a whole lot you can go off of that one.
Goddamn Mongolians is pretty much the best you can do. Breaking down, my shitty wall.
My shitty war.
Yeah, which is, you know, comedy gold there. And I don't mean that ironically. I mean that's fucking hilarious.
Yes.
I see what he's getting at. He's saying, you know, we have the old standard cliches and we need new cliches.
Look, I'm all for finding, you know, the next thing to make fun of.
Sure, the next Polak joke.
I don't think Mongol is the way to go.
No. Excuse me, when did the Mongols rule China? I think I must need to watch Bill and Ted soon, because Bill and Ted quotes just keep popping into my head.
I agree.
So
it's been a long, long time since I've seen Bill and Ted, and I used to love that movie.
Oh, I know, I still do. Both of them, actually. I think they're equally good.
But, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Station.
Station. But no, I don't know. I mean, we're kind of building our own little sandbox here, our own little group of people, the things we make fun of and little touchstones and so forth. So, I mean, when people start handing in their copybooks, incidentally, you have a few more weeks to do that.
Yep.
Perhaps we can flip back through and see, you know, what we've come up with. Because, I mean, I haven't kept track of every little thing, but I know we must have people that we make fun of regularly.
Mm-hmm.
on this show. We must already have sort of targets that we've established over 77 episodes.
I think you'll find most of them are dead celebrities.
Or celebrities that we assume are dead and other people tend to take issue with.
Or celebrities that we hope are dead.
Well, like Gallagher now.
Yes.
Jerk. Next questions come from Adrian. Dear Sarcastic Voyage, how are you? I am good. Something feels off, he says. First
it's your
question.
Grammar.
More for Matt than Al, since I'm not sure if Al knows what this is.
All right.
Is Let Me In, the American remake of Let the Right One In, necessary at all? While I write this, I just realized I can't explain this for both of you. Well, no point in going back and editing this, Adrian. By all means, just keep writing whatever comes to your brain. How do you feel about North American remakes of international material in general? I feel they rank from pretty good, the first three seasons of The Office, to abhorrent, Godzilla the Prisoner. Mm-hmm. So I'm obviously not right to judge such things. There's another question, but let's handle this one first.
Okay. I saw the commercial for Let Me In, and, you know, I mean, I've been meaning to watch Let the Right One In for a long time. You know, my well-known friend who is a vampirologist has been thoroughly recommending it. So, I mean, it's on my to-do list.
Mm-hmm.
As a concept, I guess I don't really have a problem with there being an American remake as long as it's good.
Okay,
and I mean, that's the problem. So few of them are.
We've talked about this, and I think if you take and I hate to say things like property and franchise, but in this case, that's the only word that fit.
Mm.
If you take a long existing character that has existed for a long time over a lot of media, and you relaunch it, something like the new Star Trek movie, something like Batman Begins or Casino Royale, characters that have been around for a long time that you say, no, it's gotten out of hand, let's start again. That tends to work sometimes. Not always, but that's
but
when
it's more likely to work.
Right. Whereas I cannot think of a single example, and I may be wrong. I can't think of a single example where someone has taken a single thing, one story that's been told once and retold it better. And if it has happened, I'm sure all you junior achievers out there are going to say, well, wait, what about this? What about this? Fine. I'm sure there's a couple. But the ratio of good ones to bad ones is largely in favor of the bad ones. It's rarely good.
Two of my favorite movies are remakes.
Oh?
Yeah, The Fly and the Thing.
Okay, but The Fly, was it really a remake?
Yeah.
Were there any similarities apart from the guy trying to...
Yeah, guy makes a teleporter, fly gets in it.
Okay. I know the old one, but I thought it was vastly different. I thought it took the the name and the very simplest concept, but it completely made a different movie out of it.
The Thing, I can't sort of, like, I never saw the original Thing, but the Thing remake is one of my favorite movies ever.
All right. Well, see, there's a few, but I can name so many completely unnecessary and horrible.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I would say, you know, like 1 in 100 maybe turns out okay. But remember that, like, shot-for-shot remake of Psycho?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
What's the point?
That was just...
As a filmmaking exercise, if you're in film school and you do that, that's kind of cool. If you're spending studio money and expecting people to go see it, though, like, why?
If you just made, what was it?
I don't know.
That movie with Matt Damon.
Matt Damon?
Matt Damon.
I don't know which one. He's been in a lot of movies. The Bourne movies?
No, Christ. Never mind. If you just come off of that movie and the Oscar it won and decide that you want to make a shot-for-shot remake of Psycho, you're wrong.
Oh, that was Good Will Hunting.
Thank you, Christ!
Like, he's been in a lot of movies. Give me more information here. But yeah, that was Good Will Hunting, which I actually liked. That was a good movie.
Yeah, I never saw Good Will Hunting.
It was very inspirational, actually. I enjoyed that.
Oh, good.
But no, the shot-for-shot remake of Psycho or, like, Godzilla or... I don't know if I'd even count The Office as a proper remake. I mean, yeah, it was. And the first season was pretty much the same.
Mm.
But, I mean, it became a very different show. And
yeah, they really sort of did their own thing with it.
And it had the blessing of the creator. Like, Ricky Gervais said, here you go ahead. So I don't know if that entirely, like, counts. I mean, I guess technically it does. But I don't really think of that as the same as someone saying, let's make... Did you see there's this horribly crass, it's an easy joke, but it's still pretty funny, Citizen Kane modernization.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
That was pretty good. And we'll put that in the show notes as well. But remakes more often than not just fall on their face as far as I'm concerned.
It's not impossible for them to be good, but it is extremely unlikely.
Yeah, I think you're taking an unnecessary gamble, and it's better you just do something else.
Yeah.
Next question. Second, more for Al and for Matt, because I'm not sure if Matt ever owned any. Did you own any records when you were younger? If so, what was the first you bought with your own money? If that's too far back, modify for cassette tapes. Still waiting for Ghostbusters theme show 2, Adrian. I owned records as a lad, as a young child. A lot of Sesame Street, a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah.
But by the time I was old enough to buy my own music, I bought cassettes. I actually joined the Columbia Record and Tape Club, as it was known in the day.
16 records for a penny?
Six for a penny. And I actually made it work for me. Like, they didn't scam me.
Mm.
So what you were supposed to do is that you would order your six, and you'd be obligated to buy, I think, three more over the next year.
Right.
But the way they would get you is they would mail you a card that says, this is the selection of the month. If you don't send it back with a no, we're going to send it to you.
Mm.
So I was just sure to send it back with a no every time. And
yep.
And I didn't get it. And I bought the ones that I wanted, and I quit it. And I ended up, I quitted, yes. I ended up getting like three tapes free out of the deal, like when it was all said and done.
Oh, nice.
And the first one I ever bought was probably, probably Falco 3, the Rock Me Amadeus guy.
Nice.
So, yeah. Matt?
I owned a couple of records when I was three, and they were all Sesame Street.
Of course.
Awesome records. First...
Those guys put out amazing stuff.
Oh yeah, they did great. They did great work.
Yeah.
The first, I guess, CD I ever bought, I think it was the South Park movie soundtrack.
Wow.
Yeah.
God, you're young.
I have never sort of felt the need to buy a whole lot of CDs. Like, when I first started getting into music, that was in the early heady days of Napster when you could just have anything.
That era was so delicious. I miss it.
Just all the music in the world at your fingertips.
Yep. Of course, every parody song was mislabeled Weird Al.
Oh, yeah.
But there was, half my music collection is probably from there. When I heard they were shutting down, I just, like, took a couple of days off work and just made a list of everything I ever wanted to hear. And of course, I bought it all legally since, of course.
Of course.
Because, you know, why wouldn't I? Very well. So you had to have a copy of Uncle Fucka, huh?
I really did. Need to understand how big of a South Park fan I was in high school.
Well, I mean, I still am. It's a great show.
As am I. Yeah. But nothing sort of like the passion I had the first year that show came out.
Yeah, it was pretty fantastic.
And I was in grade 8.
Yeah, that would have been the perfect time. See, I was like 20, yeah. So.
Mm-hmm. I get it. There's a satellite in his ass. That's pretty funny, I guess.
No, I thought it was great. I just, I didn't have the 12-year-old's passion for it like you would have.
Yeah.
Next question comes from Thom, who keeps telling me his name is not pronounced Thom, but sorry, I'm afraid it is.
Yeah.
And he writes this in German, which I'm going to get all wrong. Lieb Jungs Die Das Tun Podcast. Yeah, I have no idea.
X-B-9 Podcast.
How are you? I'm fine. Once again, you've asked for questions from your audience, and I shall try my best not to be flonk. Good man. Question the first. Recently, you've both professed an enjoyment of board games. I, too, enjoy them. My question is, what are your favorites? I'm not totally sure this has been asked before, but inquiring minds want to know. I want to know. Mine are a three-way tie between blah, 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 blah. I'm pretty sure when we discussed board games, I very clearly said I don't like board games.
Yes.
And Matt talked about the ones he already did like.
Mm-hmm.
So it's odd that you heard that show, but you only heard part of what we said. Look, learn to listen, listen to learn, okay? No second question. I think I've taken up much of your semi-valuable time. So without further ado, and happy belated Halloween and juniors and me, Thom. A lot of words for not saying very much.
Yeah.
But thanks for writing, Thom. We do appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Thom. Next question comes again from Beav, who is on track to be the new Flonk this week. And he's
Flonk
writes,
of the week, Beav.
This question is for anyone involved in the episode in which this question appears. Nice.
Alrighty.
Way to cover your flonk ass there. Which of these mid-70s variety shows hosting musical duos would have won a battle royale of mid-70s variety shows hosting musical duos? Let's assume the battle is in the mid-70s at the height of their powers. So you get what he's asking. Like,
Yes.
He lists them, but I mean, you understand the genre, right? You remember
I do.
Seeing clips. You weren't around then.
No, I did not exist in the 70s.
And he lists the Cap'n and Tennille. Captain, excuse me, not Cap'n. That's Cap'n.
The Cap'n and Tennille.
Yes, Cap'n Crunch and Tennille. The Cap'n and Tennille, Sonny and Cher, Donnie and Marie. Thanks, your pal Beef.
I gotta go with the Cap'n.
I'm just not sure Cap'n and Tennille had their own variety show. Beef's a little older than I am, and that's not a dig at him. It's just he would remember the 70s, whereas I only have sort of vague recollections. Mm. But I'm gonna look that up now. Cap'n and Tennille. And see if they did indeed have a variety show. Yes, in fact, they did. So, my mistake. Mm-hmm. His real name is Daryl Dragon. Yeah, I would go by the Cap'n as well, because... Yeah. Well, since I didn't even remember them, I'm gonna rule them out. Donnie and Marie had an army of Osmonds, so that's hardly a fair fight. So I'm going to go with Sonny and Cher.
Yeah, I gotta go with the Cap'n and Tennille.
Very well.
They have muskrat power.
Now, really, I wish our show was more like a 70s variety show. That is how I envisioned it when we first started. I envisioned us coming out and doing a little comedy, and then having different little acts doing things. And
I envisioned wearing a pantsuit.
Right. Well, of course. With, you know, bell bottoms and, you know, like a fish tank in your heels.
Of course.
I love those. Basically dressing like the Beastie Boys did in the Hey Ladies video.
Mm-hmm.
Next question comes from Ted again, who is neck and neck with Beef for Flonk of the Week. And he writes, Matt and Algar, are you as tired as I am with this overloading of bullshit 3D movies? I remember the day when 3D was a neat gimmick reserved for movies that really sold the experience. Now it seems like the movie industry says, oh, we can make this in 3D to make it seem visually deeper than it is. Most movies I can watch without the glasses when there's no action and there isn't a change at all. Can't wait for the day when we say, oh my god, a 2D movie. That's awesome. What are your thoughts? I'll stop channeling my inner Ushwin now.
I think 3D movies are fine as long as the movie was actually made for 3D. Like, now they're just slapping really shitty 3D effects onto every movie so they can charge, you know, an extra couple of bucks for it.
Oh, do they actually charge more? I didn't realize.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
It doesn't surprise me, but I didn't realize. I don't go to a lot of movies, and that's just because I'm not keen on the whole, like, being in a theater experience. I do like – I don't like being around people who won't shut up and so forth. But
I mean, like I hate Avatar, but it was much, much better because it had 3D effects, whereas I hated Clash of the Titans, and it was made much, much worse by having 3D effects.
But now, what about a movie you liked, like the Tim Burton Alice in Wonderland? Didn't that have 3D in it?
Yes, it did, and it actually looked very good.
Did it? Okay. Well, I mean, because Tim Burton feels—I mean, he's obviously a technically competent director. He probably knows his way around a lot of things. But it seems like 3D is so much of an afterthought because, oh God, Avatar, we better do 3D.
Exactly.
So it seems like that movie was mostly done when they made the decision to make it 3D. So I would guess that it was kind of an afterthought. But no, he actually did good 3D.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
But it most, like, at this point, it really just feels like a cash grab. It's just like, well, we'll make it 3D, and, you know, we can charge a couple bucks more.
I gotta admit, I have not seen a 3D movie. I saw Captain EO at Epcot Center in, like, 1986.
And it blew you away.
It did. I mean, I was, you know, I was 13 at the time. It was, you know, I mean, come on. Putting aside all the obvious Michael Jackson jokes, blah, 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 whatever. The guy was, you know, a fucking presence. He knew what he was doing. And this was not long after, like, Thriller and that kind of thing. Like, really at the top of his game. And it was great. It was fantastic. But it was a novelty at an amusement park. And I, you know, I don't care. Like, I really don't care.
Yeah.
And the whole 3D thing now, not much comes out that I'm that interested in. Like, if a movie came out that I really cared about that was in 3D, I'd give it a shot. But I just... It seems like I said, it seems like a novelty. It seems like you might as well make your movie scratch and sniff. It doesn't seem like something that matters. But
it's also a pain in the ass to wear the glasses if you already wear glasses.
Oh, I bet. Plus, you get in a fight with Rowdy Roddy Piper for an hour to get you to wear the glasses, and you just refuse to wear the glasses, and he just keeps fighting you and wear the glasses. And you know.
Ever since 3D movies started coming out, I am late for so many movies.
Because you're always fighting in an alley with Roddy Piper?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to get in and see the movie, and there's Rowdy Roddy Piper
wearing
his kilt and wanting you to wear these fucking glasses, and I don't want to wear them.
No.
And I don't care about his stupid aliens.
And it doesn't matter how many times you tell him,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to wear the glasses. He'll just punch you and throw you around and say, wear the glasses.
Yep.
It occurred to me that we could make this bit go on for 20 minutes discussing the glasses. Just to give you an impression of what it's like to watch that part of They Live. But I'm not that cruel. We'll move on. Another
in question. Conclusion, Rowdy Roddy Piper is a jerk.
He kind of is. He's a bit rowdy, I find. next question comes again from Ted. And I need to go back and count, but I think he and Beav are right close for Flonk of the Week. Dear Pantscasters, in regards to my previous question, I don't remember what previous question you asked. The pants I'm looking for are about... Oh, this is about... Have we seen his pants?
Mm. No.
Denim with a metal thing and a zipper. The denim is blue. As I don't think I have any photos of said pants, I did hire a sketch artist to depict my pants, making it easier for you to find. Photo number one is a sketch of me wearing my pants in a snowstorm that hit Dallas-Fort Worth in March. I made a snowman. I'll include snowman photos also because I like that snowman. I had a hat. Photo number two is a sketch of me wearing those pants on the night they were lost. I was walking from my car to a friend's place in this photo. Hope this helps locate those traitorous pants, Ted. P.S. War on pants. P.P.S. Doesn't the first one look like Burl Ives? Doesn't the second one look like a snowman version of Johnny Five from Short Circuit 2? Wow.
I think that you need to stop looking for your pants and start looking for Ritalin. I think it could really help.
That's a thought. Pants? these are definitely drawings of a sort. We will include these in the show notes. I don't think this really helps us find your pants, but as Matt says, I don't think the pants are the issue anymore.
No.
I think the Mongol is the issue. See, it just doesn't work. You got to go with the Chinaman. The Mongol, trying to shoehorn a Mongol in there just doesn't work.
No, sorry.
Yeah, right on. Oh, you haven't guessed my...
Oh, yeah.
I'll give you two guesses because it's been a while. Batman?
Batman.
No. Close.
Is it Batman 2?
No.
Damn.
All right. Final question comes from Duh.
Very well.
And he writes... Please change any lyrics you need for the betterment of the song or delete entirely. He's written us a song.
Wow.
Lizard Rap, performed by Willikins. So he's given us a recommendation of who has to sing the song and everything. Oh, I see. Inspired by, he says tweet, I say Twitter post, by, why do I say, our friend Jeremy. He was latching onto where I said, go ninja, go, if he was, and said, go Lizza, go. So, Duh has written us a song that he would like Willikins to perform for him. So we'll get right on that, and you'll be hearing that here shortly.
Yes.
But that's, I think, all from us. Unless, Matt, you have anything
further? Here at Sarcastic Voyage Central.
Yeah. Sarcasm Labs. that's about it. Oh, one other quick thing before we get on to the song. Speaking of Nick and Willikins. We're starting a new contest.
Yes.
This is a lot of you seem to enjoy the continued adventures of Nick and Willikins. We haven't had them on for a few weeks. We will be resuming those.
Nick and Willikins will return.
We didn't want to interrupt the flow of our Batman show last week. And this week, because of the song, we figured that's enough Nick and Willikins. We really don't want to overdo it.
No.
But we will be resuming their continuing serialized adventures. We would like to add characters to the mix. We got Nick, the delightful English heir to a vast fortune.
Mm-hmm.
We have Willikins, his long-suffering manservant. But we need more. We need more. They have to be English or, you know, from the UK, like English, Irish, Scottish, Welsh. I'd love a great Welsh accent.
Oh, yeah.
Welshy. but yeah, we need more characters. We need to expand the playing field there. And yeah, we could try to do more voices ourselves, and we may occasionally, but one of us has to be Nick and one of us has to be Willikins as the story goes, so
yeah.
We need other people to be other things. Here's what we want from you. We want... Don't
Here's just write, what I would like you to do.
Here's what I want you to do. I would I really don't want you to write in with your suggestions. I'm sure you have great ideas. We want audition sound files.
Mm-hmm.
We want you to record your potential character in an audio file. If you have several, that's fine. And email them to the show, podcast@algar.com.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, as many as you like, as often as you like. Just come up with characters that exist. You know, if you have a backstory for them, fine. If all you have is a voice, that's fine. But we need more people to interact with. We need to fill out that village at Nick Hall and
the Nick and Willikins players.
Yes, they could go to London. They could go to Stonehenge. They could go to. There must be other things in England. I don't know.
Big Ben.
Sure.
No, that's probably it.
That's in London.
Games Workshop.
Games Workshop. That's at the mall.
Well, yes, but it started in England.
Oh, well, very well. But yeah, if you'd like to enter that, just send us your auditions, and ideally we'll use as many of them as possible, but the one we like best will get a prize.
Mm.
And we've given prizes a few times now. We gave away some soap with the show logo on it. We gave away... Mm-hmm.
A terrible TV show?
A terrible TV show and a terrible book named after a terrible joke. So, I mean, we have been giving out real physical prizes to people,
mm-hmm.
and we will do that
again. What other podcasts can say that?
Probably others, but
yes.
But I'm pretty proud of our prizes, actually. And
what other podcast that you're listening to right now can say that?
Right now.
None. That's what.
Yeah. But yeah, send us your Nick and Willikins auditions. This will be going on for the next few weeks, but the sooner the better,
because
we can only milk that soup gag for so long.
I'm still making soup, sir.
Apparently. Well, hurry it up then.
Stir.
All right. So next thing you'll be hearing is the song, and it's all from us, and we're going to stop talking.
Stop now. Talking now.
Musical interlude.
Yo, it's the Green Machine.
Hang on, we ain't started yet.
Yo!
Look, we've been given this thing, this letter from the Sarcastic Voyage blokes.
Some sort of song, I think.
Listen, of the two of us, I would think I would be the hip-hop master. I would be the one to bust the fresh rhymes and the fat beats.
Or I think you'll find that I learned funk at Cambridge.
Yes, I've heard about enough of Cambridge. Oxford is clearly the better school.
Yes, but you would think that's...
That's irrelevant. Listen, the point is, this bloke wrote in and requested that you do a song about Galiza. So, we'll let
Apparently
you
not only am I your manservant, but the manservant of literally dozens of podcast listeners.
I think you're overestimating their audience. In any case, I'm going to tell you how to do it right, because, you know, it's tricky to rock a rhyme, Willikins.
I think you'll find that it's actually extraordinarily easy to rock rhymes.
Don't contradict me in front of everyone else. Now listen, I want you to rock this rhyme, and when it gets tricky, I'm going to help. So just go ahead, go on, rock the rhyme.
Very well, sir.
If it's not tricky, just do it. Go on, do it. Do it better, do it faster, go.
What the hell does yo mean?
Do it.
Am I to believe to be a pirate of some sort?
Look, the beat has started. Get on with it.
Yes, I know. It's very good. All right. Yo, it's the Green Machine. I'm gonna rock the town without being mean. Have you ever seen a lizard get down? Slammin', jammin' to the new rock, to the new swing sound.
You messed up there. You completely lost the beat.
I'm sorry, sir. The beat is somewhat out of control. It got a hold of me.
Look, just go. Do it.
Get that baseball cap off of me. It's not even on the right way.
No, it's supposed to be backwards, isn't it? All right, go.
Look, the bill is made so that it keeps
sudden. The verse is ending. Get back on the bloody beat.
Everybody, let's move. Willikins is here with the new jack groove.
It is new jack, isn't it?
Gonna rock and roll this place with the power of the mutant lizard bass.
I think it's pronounced bass, you'll find.
Nick, you know I'm not playing. Devastate the show while the Galiza are saying. Go, lizard, go.
Next verse, do it, quick.
Lyrics, fill in the gap. Drop that bass and get the lizard rap. Feel it. You know what I mean? Give it up for that monster in green. Just flowing, smooth with the power. Kicking it up, hour after hour.
Kicking? Where'd you learn to talk like that?
Life, there's only one winner.
Shut up, Willikins, and go make me dinner.
In it to win it would cake up more. Friend Galizza, you gotta adore it. The...
Go, Lizza, go, Lizza, go.
Go, Lizza, go, Lizza,
go.
Go, Lizza, go, Lizza, go. Go. Go.
Do it with a little more enthusiasm, go. Would you please? You want
go,
to go,
go, go, bloody go.
Go, Lizza, go, Lizza, go.
Skeptics, you better run and hide, because one day he might not hide.
Look, you can't rhyme hide with hide, that's horrible.
Choose your camera, but don't slip. Willikins in control with the flex of the mic grip.
I think you'll find you're not very much in control, are you?
Rocking the crowd the way it should be rocked. With the Miami drop that you like a lot.
A lot? That's horrible.
Hitting like Galizza when the bass kicks in. You better check your level.
Where's the rhyme there? It's gone. Look, it's quite tricky, wouldn't you say?
The power of the lizard is strong. Drinking all the drink. The power of the lizard is strong. Drinking all the hooks when they're still on all.
Oh, no, it says whoops right there. Well, they're still cold. Cold don't rhyme with strong. What the hell is this?
Oh, I think that was ideal, don't you?
That was horrible. Can we do it again?
Yo!
The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is published weekly and is available via iTunes or on the web at sarcasticvoyage.com. Detailed show notes, related links, and alternate file formats are also available on the web. That website, again, is sarcasticvoyage.com. Follow Matt and Al on Twitter. They are, respectively, at RobotMatt and at Algar. Listener feedback can be sent to podcast@algar.com. An on-air response is guaranteed. All material contained herein is the intellectual property of Ron Algar Watt, Matt Robotham, and the featured guest, unless otherwise noted. The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is a trademark of Algar Productions, copyright 2010. Update. Colton Harris Moore, a.k.a. the Barefoot Bandit, was arrested on July 11, 2010 in the Bahamas. It's possible that by the time you hear this, he will have escaped again. One can only hope.